With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In this podcast, we identify six players that could be shrewd additions in the summer and answer your podcast questions. This is the Borough Breakdown Podcast, and this is all your Borough Matchday Chatter in a pod.
Want support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the area. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the track. Goal!
Abanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Abanelli spots out.
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown Podcast with Johnny, Dana and Tom. We are the Borough Podcast that gives you all of your Borough Matchday Chatter in a podcast. And welcome to the off-season. The season is done and dusted. The transfer window is very much upon us and Borough expect to be very busy in the transfer window. Guys, it's been a couple of weeks since we've done the last podcast together. It's given us time to reflect, get our own lists together and get our house in order for the next season. But let me know how you're feeling so far in the transfer window. Dana, do you want to go first?
In the transfer window?
Feeling in terms of the transfer window? How are you feeling in general?
Well, I'm a bit impatient because I'm a bit bored. I want some rumours to get stuck into. But in general, I'm okay. I'm a bit sunburnt under this makeup. I've been channeling my inner Benidorm mam. But other than that, I'm very, very good.
Yeah, I feel like no one will realise how pink you were the other day and it just cracked me.
I was so bad, yeah. It's going down, but it's still pretty bad.
You can't tell now. But if you can, let us know in the YouTube comments below. Tom, or Harry Maguire from Wish, how are you feeling, mate? And also, how are you feeling about the transfer window coming up?
Oh, in general, I'm just kind of enjoying the break from football at the moment, even though... I mean, I say that I've probably watched more football in the last week than I have in quite a while anyway, because it's been on every night. But yeah, I'm the same as Dan. I'm really impatient and want some like decent transfer rumours. I'd prefer to get our stuff sorted early on. But yeah, just waiting for it to all start, really.
Okay, then, and I'm doing all right too. I feel like watching you, Tom, under the lights at the Riverside was a joyful watch as well. Prince Wyatt, known as Harry Maguire from Wish, and also yeah, it's been a quite a nice
I've
break.
I've only just about recovered from that, by the way. God knows how Borough do that twice a week.
Yeah, you play well, mate. You did yourself proud. I mean, quite some questionable defending that time, but you were no nonsense. Got rid of it when you needed to. And you started to build it from the back, so it was quite nice to watch her as well. But let's move on. Let's talk about let's do some podcast questions. But we'll do some Borough news first. And before we do all of that, let's do the transfer news. Camille Conte from Watford, under 23s, signing for us. Jordan Rhodes, or if you want to call him Jason Rhodes, has been linked along with Ben Gibson. So I feel like I'm in a 15-16 season trance. And also, Middlesbrough made a big, big signing and returning to kit manufacturer area after 14 years after leaving them. But let's do some podcast questions because everyone loves a podcast question. You can ask us via Twitter or email at theboroughbreakdown@hotmail.com, or you can ask them over on our Telegram chat with over 188 Borough fans talking everything Borough. Football and sometimes the Wobbly Goblin in Stockton. But the first question this week, and it's from Mike. and he says, should we bring Ben Gibson back? Obviously, Chris Wilder was reportedly watching Ben Gibson in the last game. Dana, would you bring Ben Gibson back?
It's a difficult one. I mean, weighing up the pros and cons, I think in terms of pros, you bring him back an experienced player that can still play. There's no good having experience and not being able to put in decent performance levels, especially for the championship as well. He's a good defender. That's probably his level higher championship, you would say. And he's a natural leader, which is what Borough needs. Good passing from the back as well. There seems to be this idea that he's not. I've seen on Twitter recently, but he is. There's a whole athletic piece about his passing when he was last in the championship with Norwich. So he suits our sort of front foot possession style. The cons are that I'm not convinced he's the best in a back three. I think, obviously, we have the expectations of Ben Gibson in a defensive two in a back four. So I'm not sure he's quite the same in a back three. Probably a lack of pace as well as another con, because we do get caught behind sometimes and we do need that pace to be able to recover the space and the positioning. And I'm just generally a big believer in not seeing former players return. Mean Girls has taught me that the sequel is never as good as the original. So there we go.
Well, that rules out Middlesbrough bringing back Ben Gibson, Kike Sola, who is now a wine connoisseur, by the way, as we found out this morning.
Oh, yeah, what a career turn. Fair play.
I know, yeah. I mean, you couldn't tell that he likes wine on his Instagram profile. So if you have got time, go on his Instagram profile and see if you can guess why he likes wine so much. But Tom, the next question, it's from Ryan. He says, which players would you personally sell or let leave? In brackets, not who you think. And also, how much would you value them at? So which players would you personally let leave the club in the transfer window?
So it's a difficult one, this, because a couple of weeks ago, I'd have said I wouldn't be surprised if Paddy McNair was one of the people to leave. I think that was on our season review show, but since then, there's been an article come out with a quote from Wilder saying, you know, he's integral to what we want to do. We fit into the system and stuff like that. Yeah, it's difficult with who you'd let leave. If I had to kind of go with anyone, I feel like Del Frey could be an option. Probably value around 10 million, but that's purely because I think we could sign better. Better for right now. I think potential-wise, he still has some growing to do. But if you're willing to like cash in on an asset and build a team, that could be one of them. Not that I want to necessarily see it happen, but just purely thinking kind of business wise, it, like say, cashing in on an asset is probably one of the ones that he could.
Well, he only does have, he only has 1 year left on his current deal, does Dale Fry. Are you worried about him and Dale, you know, both got 1 year left? Do you think we kind of need to sort them out in the summer sooner rather than later, Tom?
So him and Dale.
Sorry, I see a buffer. I just buffered.
Ideally for me, I'd like to see them both renew. And you know, you'd want to get that sorted in the summer or at least at the start of the season. So that type of thing, it's not dragging on towards the end of the season. There's not going to be a like will they, won't they renew or anything like that. They're two of our best assets. So you'd want to renew both of them at the very least. So like if an offer did come in, like it's not going to be like undervalued or anything like that, but you know, best case scenario, you want to build a team around them, so give them a new contract.
Okay, then the next question, Dana, it's from BB in from the Telegram chat, and they ask, what should the club and the various fan groups be doing to further improve the whole match day experience for next season?
Well, firstly, I think the match day experience and certainly the build-up to it has definitely improved. I think the fan hub's fantastic, the fact that they brought that in and they've continued that even when it's tanking it down in Baltic. I mean, we're right on the edge of the River Tees, aren't we? So we kind of have that chill, a noticeable chill in the air pretty much all year round. So I like that. I like the seemingly mega mix of quite poignant, meaningful Middlesbrough songs before the game, like Strings for Yasmin and Let's Dance. I think Steel River just isn't for me. I don't know what people think. It's just, it's not for me.
For me,
Yeah, I don't know why that's played after Pig Bag. It's usually my cue to sit down because, you know, what am I supposed to do when Steel River's on? Join in? It's just, it's not for me.
Get your lighters out. Start the,
yeah, get your lighters out.
Feel like you've got to take that concert, you know?
Yeah, it's just, I think the placement of it's weird. But other than that, I think the atmosphere is good. The obvious one that people have said and that I agree with is if there's an atmosphere being built up between the home fans and the away fans, or even just the home fans pre-match, turn the music down or turn the music off. I think they did that during the Derby game. They might have been fantastic. Appreciate that. I think that's a really good thing to do. But yeah, we've seen in the past, it's usually cranked up, isn't it? And it's not a competition with the fans. If the fans are singing, you let the fans sing. You don't drown them out with Black Eyed Peas or Fat Boy Slim, you know. But all in all, I think they're improving.
Wait, so you're telling me I got a feeling is is a step too far? Is this where we're drawing the line though? Is this it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Fair enough then. Next question, Tom, and it's from Jake, and he says, can you potentially see many of Borough players being repurposed to play a different role in the system next year? Or do you think everyone's main position will be where they were this season?
I think for the most part, it will be that everyone's main position is going to be as it is this season. We might still have some cases next season where Tav needs to play left wing back. And obviously McGree will slot into that position. But I don't see that happening too often. I don't think that's going to be a regular occurrence. One thing I could see happening if we don't get rid of him is potentially moving Ball at left centre back. As kind of like a rotation option there. Because I don't think Wilder wants him at left wing back. I think that was shown in the last few games of the season where Tav was playing there. So I could definitely see that happening if we don't let him go this summer.
I think he would be a good option there as well, because I know he's not the tallest. Google has him down as 6'1". That's absolutely not the case. But aerially, it's not really the wide centre-backs that get involved in that. It's Dale Fry, it's the central midfielder, the sweeper, if you like, that gets involved in the sort of aerial battles. And Dale Fry is very good at doing that. I think the key that Bowler will bring to a back three is pace. And I know I keep banging on about this, and I've obviously spoken to you two about it when we were creating our list, but we don't really have the pace to be able to... as I said, recover the position. And I'm hoping that next season it's not so much of a problem because we have somebody up front that can sustain a little bit of pressure, so there's no turnover of possession that damages us. But I think Bowler will bring pace to that back three. And I think that could be a position where we see him next season, especially if we don't bring in decent depth in that left centre back position.
Do you think we'll see big tactical changes next year, Dana, in the way Mills were set up?
Not big tactical changes. I think maybe little tweaks in terms of probably having a bit more balance between the left back and the left wing back and the right wing back, and be able to have that diagonal switch, and probably just quickening the tempo as well. Towards the end of the campaign just gone, we were quite slow and sluggish and laboured, and I think that's one thing that you could probably say is the opposite of the Wilder style. You know, they want that quick, fast, fluid football, and we just weren't having that at the end of the season. So not too many. I think the interesting tweak will be up front, where we'll probably have somebody that can drop deep, receive the ball, sustain a bit of pressure, hold up the play, retain possession that way, and then somebody that can get in behind and might be a little bit more of a focal point as well.
Okay, then that was a question from TG as well. And the last question of the day, it's from Daniel. He says, which young player, if any, do you think will make a breakthrough to be a regular in the first team next season? We do have our prediction show coming up in the next few weeks, but is there any front runners for you both? Tom, is there anyone?
I mean, not in terms of being a regular, but I can see them kind of make appearances for the next year. It would be Joe Gibson, just on that right wing back role. I think, you know, he showed good kind of flashes in the Mansfield game. He's obviously highly rated in the under 23s, and he just signed a new contract as well, hasn't he?
Did he?
what? Joe Gibson signed a new contract?
What's this? No, it's not...
If you're in our Telegram chat, you'll know what that's all about. Join our Telegram chat.
But yeah, I think all that kind of stuff just kind of shows that within the next couple of years he'll be looking to break through and you know, might get some like sub appearances to try and make an impact this year.
Dan, have you got anyone in mind?
Yeah, I think Bryant Belongo for me. When I've watched the under-23s this season, he's stood out in that left. He's played a left-sided centre-half, but also left back, left wing-back, I think, and he can switch the two roles because I just think he's got the attributes to do that. He's very good in the overlap. I think on his debut, actually, he supplied, it might have been Kavanagh for a goal, really good cross from the left. Obviously, we are looking at that position. We don't have any left-footed centre-backs. So I think Belongo could be within a shout. I completely agree with Joe Gibson. But potentially, the keepers. You know, we've spoken about goalkeepers. We're going to speak about a goalkeeper that we've all agreed on for our six list. But we could well promote from within because Zach Hemming has been fantastic at Kilmarnock, obviously part of the team that won the title there in the Scottish Championship. And he's worth a crack in pre-season. I think both of the keepers, Brin and Hemming, are worth a go in pre-season, and I'm sure they'll get that opportunity. I'm hoping that they can take it as well. But rumours are that we're probably going to bring in Carl Darlow, aren't we? So we'll see where that goes, what happens with that. But I think for me, the standout is probably Belongo.
Okay, then, it'd be interesting to see if we do bring Carl Darlow, but that'll be for another podcast. And I think for my pick, I think my front runner might be Hayden Hackney. I think it's kind of you either break through this year or you don't break through at all kind of year for him. It'll be interesting to see if he does or not, but my prediction might change in a few weeks' time. But let's move on then. Let's go to the six lists because we've identified six players that we think would be good fits / shrewd signings for Borough. We, of course, don't know who Middlesbrough are going to sign at times, but we've searched the leagues, we've looked at the data, and we've applied our eye test and compared the current players and these players in particular to see how they compare against each other. And I just want to thank Luke as well, at Lou Ons on Twitter, for pulling the data for us as well. All the 150 Borough fans and Luke in our Telegram chat. So starting off, we've really identified a striker, a left wing back, a centre back, a goalkeeper, another striker as well, and well, a certain defensive midfielder for the list. But then I want to start off right at the top. I think we should go forward first, then we'll come to goalkeeper, and then we'll start making our way through in terms of priority. But who is your number one pick for striker? Who is your striker? Why is he your pick, and how does he compare?
Yes, so I've gone for someone that really impressed against Borough this season. No, it's not Victor Gyökeres, unfortunately, for everyone that really wants him at Middlesbrough. It's Carlton Morris. And the reason I've got Carlton Morris on there is because what I've alluded to already in the podcast, we really struggled to have a striker that could drop deep, receive the ball and sustain pressure. We had the likes of Connolly, Balogun and Sparrar trying to do that, but the ball just wasn't sticking with them because it's just not their style. They just don't have the physicality, and I think that's one thing that we need. The Championship is about physicality for me, and if you have the physicality, you're already on your way to potentially being a decent fit in the division. But yeah, Carlton Morris, 9 goals this season, 8 non-penalty, 2 assists on top of that, so 11 goal contributions in a pretty poor Barnsley side. He's a physical hold up forward, but his adept with the ball, his feet. He'll be in and around the build-up, but not penalty box man. But as I said, he can help Borough retain possession in their possession-based style, which is really important. But if we break down the data, he's a good blend of physical and technical. The physical is that he averages over 9 aerial duels per 90 and is above the league average for strikes in terms of winning them. Technical, 3.95 dribbles per 90, which is just above Duncan Watmore in the Borough ranks, and he has a superior success rate to Duncan Watmore. In terms of offensive duels, and offensive duels are defined as a ground duel for a player in possession of the ball. He's good at maintaining possession either through a dribble or through use of his body. Only 7 players partake in more, and he's ranked 20th in the league for offensive duels won. Now, that might not be a standout ranking, 20th, but he's definitely somebody that can use his body well, and we can harness that to maybe build up a little bit more as well. He's somebody that can drop deep to receive and then spin in behind. He did that a lot on MK Dons. Think half of each shape he is his physicality and double his technical ability, and you'll probably get Carl Morris. But yeah, the eye test, he was a right handful for McNair and Dyke Steele and Fry against Barnsley. It was probably the worst I've seen them play, and it was pretty much all because of Carl Morris. Wilder said after the game that I thought he was excellent. He dominated our three, and I don't expect our three to be dominated. He won the foul that led to the first goal. He set up the second. He pressed and won the ball back. Won a penalty against Fulham that I remember. It wasn't a penalty, mine. Tim Robertson, not a great decision. But yeah, I really, really like Carl Morris. I think he's somebody that, yeah, you look at and you think, okay, he's been relegated with Barnsley in a very bad Barnsley side, but there's value to be had in those players. And I think we can really, you know, I think he's a hard worker. He can press, he can hold the ball up, he's getting better in terms of his finishing. I think he could be a very good sign and very good value pickup. The alternative, somebody else that I like and have liked since he was on loan at Blackpool, is Ellis Sims. And interesting that Wilder was at the Hearts game yesterday in which Ellis Sims was playing. So I don't know, maybe I'm 2 + 2 = 5 maybe there from me, but still, it's worth noting.
Good luck to Chris Wilder in his new role at Hearts.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Ellis Sims didn't score yesterday, and they got beat 2-0 against Rangers. But two really good, solid players, I think, there. And we'll come to the second striker a little bit later on. But Tom, we'll go for goalkeeper next. Who was your pick? Why is your pick? And how was he compared?
Well, it was a unanimous pick from the three of us. Michael Cooper from Plymouth. So, I mean, firstly, something that's going to be important in our system, great distribution. There's actually a video on YouTube which shows him throwing the ball pretty much from his own box to the edge of the other area, which shows how good he is with throwing, but also in terms of kicking as well. We can see there on the on the graphic that you know, he's involved in the build-up, plays shorter passes out of his feet a lot of the time as well. 74.2% save percentage last season, compared to Lumley's 66.3 and Daniel's 67.4. Obviously, it's a different league, so you have to kind of take that with a pinch of salt, but still promising signs there. And we see also there on the graphic about the exits. So he leaves the line slightly more than Lumley did. But it's probably important to take into account that Lumley didn't actually adopt that behaviour until late in the season due to the tactical changes in our system. So it looks like he's in a better position to slot into our system a lot more naturally than Lumley did. And he's already got kind of a platform to build from there. Over 0.2 prevented goals per 90, whereas Lumley was on just under 0.10, which did add up. And he's also facing low quality shots there and saving them. So that obviously fits our system because you know, we're based a lot around not allowing those quality clear cut chances. So it looks like a good fit for our system. He's going to get involved with the build-up and play a pass better than Lumley. The Plymouth fans really rate him. I think there was, I think he's just won Golden Glove for League One. And one of them said that he'd tied with David Stockdale, although that might not be anything to brag about after that game yesterday. And there was rumours on their message board that Norwich or West Brom could be into him, but one of their fans in particular seems adamant that he'll end up at Borough, because he was saying he'll definitely end up at like a mid-table championship club like Borough, so slightly offensive, but...
Oof.
I mean, put the claws away. Put the claws away. You know what, we will have him, fair enough, we'll have him, but we won't be a mid-table side next season.
I'd argue we weren't this season, we're just outside the playoffs, top half.
Well, I know, but it is what it is, isn't it? I think the next one then, and I'll take the left centre-back role. We spoke about a lot this position over the season, and the need for balance. And our original pick, I thought I found a bit of a gem in Maxim Leitch from Bochum, but then he went and moved to Mainz literally as of on Thursday, so I was pretty good about that. But we went with someone else, and we went with someone better than that, and it's Mats Norster from Heracles. And yeah, this is a guy I really like, and Dan, you really won me over on this one. After the more and more I started digging, the more and more I was impressed by him. 23-year-old, 6'2", Dutch, from Feyenoord Academy as well. And he's being praised by the fans, the forums, the players, about his leadership. And he's captained Holland all the way through his international career so far. And we've got a clip about his leadership traits. So I feel like we should just put that in. Dinner, do you mind bringing that up?
Mats Knuster. Fantastic mentality, and fine junge, has good education at home, and he's intelligent. So this is a good basic for me to work with him, because you can talk with him about football, everything. He can play in every team, I think, because of his speed, of his body, of his intelligence. He's intelligent on the pitch. The only thing is what we have to train is. I said to you, he has to work here, and I don't know if he's good enough for the biggest team, but he's 20, so give him time, more experience in the matches, and then I think he has no problem in one time to play in a big team.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
So that was a clip from a couple of years ago, and he's started to really progress ever since. Obviously, 31 games in the Eredivisie this season, but they have just been relegated, losing 5-1 in the relegation playoff yesterday. But in terms of why I kind of like him and why we should be looking at this type of player is, for me, I think in terms of his style as well, is progressive passing and runs, hitting well over the 80% mark in terms of percentages. And then also it looks really solid on the ball. But I think one big thing I was really impressed by when we've been watching him is that his ability to split as a centre-half and really build an attack on the ball, feed in the wing-backs and centre midfielders, which we've seen is really pivotal at the Middlesbrough's play. When we looked at Housen last season, how we were able to get the ball from the centre-back and let Housen dictate play from the midfield. He is very, very good at that. He's very comfortable. His recovery runs are very, very good. And in looking at his defensive duties, he's not only very good at progressing Middlesbrough going forward, if we were to bring him in, defensively, it's kind of no secret that our division is very physical and duels are pretty massive, depending on who you play. And he comes out quite nicely as well, above average on both aerial and defensive duels. And I think it kind of comes down to his positioning being excellent and his anticipation on knowing when and where to go and how to win the duel more effectively. And for a 23-year-old to do that, I think it's pretty special. He seems to be very mature, having all that leadership qualities as well. So having a mobile, progressive, good positionally, young, a good leader, what more do you actually want for someone in this division and someone to slot into this defensive role? Realistically, and I think the realistic scale will come up because I've just really praised him highly, it can be quite high, actually, if this deal was to happen, because Coventry and Swansea are already keen on him. He ticks a lot of boxes, and I think if we can actually pull it off, I think it could be a really good deal. There is rumours, obviously, in Holland as well, that AZ Alkmaar are kind of the team that he might potentially move to in the future, and he'll probably move up the ladder in the Eredivisie next season. But if we were to look for a left centre-back, he could be very much higher on the list and someone you could really sell on for a big profit as well in the future. But yeah,
Free transfer as well, isn't he? Because his contract runs out in the summer, yeah. Be a fantastic pickup for a club. As you said, they're an asset as well.
Yeah, it's a real asset. I think it's difficult for Heracles to really hold him down now, I think, with the talent that he's got. But who knows? I think when you've got Coventry and like Swansea looking at him as well, Mills probably going to have to act fairly quickly to try and get him if we can. But let's move on to the next one then, Dan. I think we'll go to striker again. So who's going to get your pick for second striker? Because you were ooming and ahhing about this one for pretty much all week. So I'll let you have them both to pick so you can go through both if you still can't decide. But who have you gone for, the second striker?
Yeah, this is incredibly unrealistic because of what happened literally yesterday. But I have gone for Ross Stewart of Sunderland.
Are you going to say Mbappe there? I was like, what?
Oh, God, I could have done that. Yeah, obviously, well, a former target of Boroughs, if the daily record is to be believed. We were linked with him when he was at Ross County. 26 goals for Sunderland this season, but crucially, 7 of those are in the 6-yard box. You think about Isaiah Jones, and a big part of his game is getting to the byline and cutting it back into the 6-yard box. I think we need a striker that's obviously a goal scorer, a poacher, and instinctive, you know, the good movement to be able to latch onto those balls. And Ross Stewart is exactly that. Only Wigan's Will Keane has scored more goals in the 6-yard box. Only Wilkie and Michael Smith of Rotherham have scored more headed goals than Ross Stewart's 7 as well. So he's a target from crosses. You think about the variety of crosses that we could have next season. I certainly don't expect us to always get to the byline and cut it back. I think there's going to be some crosses from deep. I think Ross Stewart would be pivotal to that. And if we look at the data as well for Ross Stewart, he's above the league average for touches in the box, shots on target, expected goals, headed goals and non-penalty goals per 90. He has a goal conversion percentage of 20.3, which is just above the league average too. And you'd be wrong to think he's just a plank up front. I did see a few Borough fans say that on a on a Facebook page yesterday. He is very strong at winning aerial duels, given his quite tall frame. The ever unreliable Google says that he's about 6'2", which is probably about right. Mark Bowler, again, is definitely not 6'1", so you can take height with a pinch of salt, but I think Ross Stewart is about 6'2". He's not really a dribbler, but he is mobile. He can run the channels, he can poach, he can press, he's dangerous from corners, he's clinical. Watched him yesterday in the playoff final. I was willing Wickham to win because I didn't want Sunderland to go up, but I didn't want Sunderland to go up, especially because of this list. So thanks, cheers for that, Wickham. But he's a fantastic player. He has a little bit of everything, really. And he was doing a lot in the build-up. He was dropping deep and allowing players to run beyond him. He was linking up well with Pritchard and Roberts, and obviously he got the goal. He got his 26th goal of the season. Obviously, this is unrealistic because Sunderland have literally just been promoted. But if Borough are very serious about wanting to take the next step and wanting to end this striker hoodoo, then I feel like Ross Stewart is exactly what we need. A target man, a poacher, crucially a poacher as well. I think that is exactly what we need, somebody that is instinctive and has the finishing, has the knack for scoring. I did also go for Dwight Gayle though, which is a little bit of a throwback, but Dwight Gayle in the Championship is cheat code, really. 59 goals in 100 Championship games, 46 goals his last 60 starts. He's always had a good record at this level. He got 24 goals when he was last playing in the Championship and then 23 the season prior to that. The only reason why I kind of went cold on Gayle is because he recently signed a new deal with Newcastle. I think for somebody like him, who, let's be honest, if you're looking at, you know, long-term or even mid-term, he's pretty... He doesn't have a great record in the Premier League, but in the Championship, he's absolutely fantastic. To take him on a free would be brilliant, but of course, as I said, he's signed a new deal recently with Newcastle, so he won't be on a free. He will be for a fee. So I think that's why I went cold on him. But yeah, he's pretty much not involved in the build-up, but in terms of getting goals and knowing where to be and having the clinical sort of edge to his game, the movement is fantastic. Watching a few of his goals from his last season in the Championship, he's just got that, as I said, that knack. And I think that's exactly what we're looking for, somebody that doesn't have to really think about what he's doing. He just does it because it's so natural to him. And yeah, Dwight Gayle is a natural goal scorer at this level.
Yeah, and it's intriguing as well that we're linked with, I was going to say Jason Rhodes there, Jordan Rhodes, as well, I think, is clearly a position that we're looking to strengthen in. We have to strengthen in. I think those both picks are really good. And is Ross Stewart that unrealistic? Maybe. I think Sunderland, Sunderland will have a price, of course. You know, they will look to invest in the squad in the Championship next season. But, of course, why move to a rival in a derby? That's not a derby. But Dwight Gayle is also a cracking shout as well. So I'd be interested to see who eventually we do bring in. I can't really see it being the Coventry striker, to be honest. But
it's a weird one with Jokeres as well. Because prior to this season, when he was at Swansea, he was terrible. You ask Swansea fans, you ask a lot of people actually about Victor Jokeres, and they would not have seen this coming this season that he's just had. I'm just a little bit sceptical that it might be a flash of the pan, it might be a, you know, one season thing. I'm kind of, most of me is not expecting that, but there's something not quite clicking with the way that Jokeres has just suddenly become a really good striker. But even within the 70 goals that he scored this season, he's not exactly clinical. I think Coventry fans can vouch for a lot of the chances that he's missed this season. He should be on about 25, to be honest. But yeah, he's had a good season. I feel like he'd be the classic case of a fantastic player that we ruin.
We've done that many a time before, to be honest. But in terms of the next position, centre defensive midfield, Tom. I cannot talk today. I need to put my teeth back in. it's a position that is very much needed. Johnny Howson has of course been offered a deal but has yet to sign. So we're technically without a centre defensive midfield. But who have you went with? Why have you picked him? And how does he compare?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Howson hasn't signed a new deal yet, but he had no competition last year anyway, which was a problem going at the end of it. It's another unanimous decision on this one. It feels like the voice we've all turned our chairs around. went with Josh Laurent from Reading. He has actually just been offered a new contract by Reading, so Borough would need to move fairly quickly on this one, although it does seem like he's got quite a few clubs after him. And of course, we have actually been linked with him before when he was at Shrewsbury. Reading fans saying it would be a disaster to lose him and Rinamota. So if we can't get him, at least we've got another option on a free transfer from Reading we can go for. But we can see that he tends to play shorter passes than Howson. However, that stack could be fairly skewed a bit this season from Warnock's hoofball tactics at the start of the year. He makes a lot more key passes than Howson, but Howson makes a lot more progressive forward passes than Laurent. And he also attempts more defensive duels than Howson, which would be interesting to see in our system as someone trying to win the ball back a lot more, but he does have a lower success rate on that. But all in all, I mean, he does look a very kind of positive on-the-ball player for that CDM position.
Yeah, I think it's a good signing for us to be made. I think when you're looking at him and Rinamota, two really good options, Don. I think that if we're able to bring at least one of them in, I think that'd be absolutely perfect. I also really love Josh Cullen at Anderlecht, and I feel like he should come in, but I can never have it. I can never have it my own way. But in terms of that system,
Sorry, I just wanted to say it is worth noting with Laurent is that he has played a few positions this season owing to Reading's injury crisis. Who scored has it down as him playing as a defender, as a winger, as a sort of more advanced midfielder. That's what he was at Shrewsbury. He was alone at Hartlepool. He had a season at Hartlepool as well before he signed for, well, he made the move up to the Championship for Wigan, I think. But a good engine, I think, in a better team with kind of that deep position nailed down. I think his passing stats, as we showed there on the graphic for the YouTube video, I think would be pretty much around Housen's sort of level, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, I think he would be a fantastic signing, and on a free as well, you can't go wrong with that. I think he'd be a good pickup for most Championship sides.
Yeah. Probably worth noting as well, going back to what you're saying about the position in there, on the Reading message board, they were saying that it did seem like he was kind of forced to play that defensive midfield role, but going forwards, he might want to play further forward because they did see his position more as a kind of natural number eight. But obviously, he is effective in that CDM role, so would be a good option for us there.
Do you think he would come as an option, Tom, or would he come in to pretty much dislodge Johnny Housen in that role?
I think he'd be coming in to dislodge Housen. I feel like Housen, you know, he's at the back end of his career, he's 34, and you wouldn't tell from his performances last season. But I do feel like he would be kind of realistic in that, knowing that he's not going to be playing for too much longer, and especially not to the standard that he currently is. So we would need to bring in a younger replacement at some point. So I can see it being more of a rotation between the two this season, which obviously we did need last season, but we just had no one else to play that CDM role, really.
A point on that, what you said about the Reading fans saying that he's better off sort of further forward. It's interesting because our central defensive midfield position isn't kind of set as like Ledbetter and Clayton were, for example, or Clayton was in particular. It's a lot more fluid, isn't it? You will see Housen bringing the ball out and, you know, the progression of play, either through dribbling or through passing. And a lot of the time it is through dribbling. So it's more of a, it's loosely actually a number eight in a way. Obviously it's number six, but it's loosely quite a progressive midfield position, which I think harnessing everything that Josh Laurent brings you, the defensive position that he's definitely taken up in recent years, I think he could be fantastic for that Housen role.
Okay, then the final position, it was left wing back. And I've went with Ryan Giles, 22-year-old, currently at Wolves, but he's been on loan to Coventry, Rotherham, Cardiff and Blackburn over the last 4 years. And for me, it's a really interesting player because, for me, he either commits to Wolves or has to make a permanent switch in the summer. I think 4 years out on loan, 22-year-old, now you want to start playing a lot more than what you're really doing, and you want to have a permanent club as well. So Ryan Giles then, and I know we've got Mark Bowler, and I know I love and treasure him, but he needs to be pushed and improved in position. This is why I kind of went with Giles. And I think in short, your one key takeaway for about Ryan Giles is that he's really attacking as it gets. Wonderful delivery, good passer, really progressive, likes to push the opposition wing back. And get really high on the pitch, which is shown by his heat map if you're watching us on YouTube. He pretty much plays like a left winger. And when you look at his stats, his offensive duels are off the scale, really. he likes to show that he wins the ball back quickly and effectively. And he's also, his dribbles and cross completion is really good too. So it's kind of no surprise he's had 10 assists in 32 games this year. But on the flip side, when you have someone like this, it was very good offensively. Defensively, does need a little bit of work. I'm going to throw out there. But he has been playing in different positions this year under Tony Mowbray. He was definitely playing a right winger as well at one point. And I can definitely see him converting into a left winger or right winger in the future. But defensively, he's quite low on the scale. Defensive duels per night, he's pretty much well down there. But then also, like, his interception per 90 as well is pretty low. And also his pass completion isn't particularly high, but I think it's just due to his position that he was in. But I think if you bring in Ryan Giles, your team and he and him himself will thrive when you keep the ball. I think when you've got a team that likes to dominate, build from the back, like to stretch games, get your wing backs nice and high, try and pin the opposition back, he's really perfect. And I think his ability to get the ball in the box, provide assists, and also keep Borough in possession of the play is really strong. And I think when Middlesbrough are stuck in games, like we've seen over the last season, where we dominated a lot more on the right-hand side and we have to move the ball from side to side, he would be perfect for that role. It gives us really nice balance. And it also allows us to recycle the player, get the ball from side to side, be patient with our delivery, and also try to break teams down when they do come in and sit in that low block. And I feel like he'd be perfect for that kind of signing if we were to bring him in. Realistically, I think it's a doable deal. Like I said, it either commits to Wolves or he makes that permanent switch. He's got three other left-backs at Wolves already who are in front of him. Bruno Lage really does like him, but whether we can break a deal in the summer will have to be seen. But I don't think he'd be short of offers, especially in the Championship. Really talented boy, 22-year-old, and I think it's a really good fit for us. If we can do that, then perfect. But if not, then someone needs to push Mark Baller in the future. But overall, I'm really impressed by Ryan Giles. But it'd be interesting to see how he progresses in his career the next few years. Could he do a Gareth Bale, really, from a left back to a left winger to a cam? Soon to be seen. I think he could probably play a cam position as well in terms of his ability. But we'll see. But guys, that's our six. Unless we've got any more players to add to this system, have we not? No.
We did have Josh Tymon. Me and Tom had Josh Tymon on our left wing back, but given that he's just signed a new deal, he'll probably command a big fee from Stoke. I think he's, you know, the perfect wing back, really. Stoke fans said he should have more assists than he does Tymon, but for poor finishing. I mean, you could probably say the same for a few players in the Borough team. But yeah, the left wing back position is particularly important, and important that you mentioned there about obsession style, Johnny, because I think with a player like Ryan Giles, yes, he's defensively not great in terms of the actual output defensively because he plays so high and he's so attacking. But if Borough are on the ball, and as well, feeding back to what I said about the strikers, if we have somebody that can sustain pressure and keep that possession up for Borough, then, you know, you've got Ryan Giles there. Yeah. And a quick left centre back as well. I think it would fit really well to have that kind of risk with a lot of reward potentially there.
Yeah, absolutely. When the two players we've spoke about would complement each other pretty much fairly well. I think with Nostar like coming in that left centre back role, with him splitting so well, oh, need to put my microphone off, and him splitting so well. It would provide that nice balance of when we're in possession of the player, but then also when you're looking at Ryan Giles and the way that we'd want to progress and keep the wing back so far back, his recovery run, like you were saying, that then his pace is so good, his recovery would be quite nice, and I don't feel like we'd be under pressure too much. But if we, I think the only teams we'd really struggle against would be like a Swansea who like to really dominate the play,
or a counter attacking team,
yeah,
like a really good counter, like if Forest stay down, for example. Forest absolutely teared Sheffield United a new one. And it was, you know, if anybody watched that game, I think it's a good blueprint of potentially what the troubles and struggles that we could face next season, because they're very similar to us. Paul Heckingbottom wanted to adopt the Chris Wilder style of play, but they just do not have the mobility at the back. And they were getting caught out time and time again with Brennan Johnson and Surridge and Zinchenko. And that's really important to have that pace. That's why I've kind of kept saying it, to have that the recovery pace to be able to get back and fill those positions once you've kind of been turned over in possession is really important. That's why we see Dyke Steelers thrive so much this season, because he has that pace. And there was a lovely 4-minute long video of Anthony Dyke Steel being wonderful that he posted on Instagram that I would love everybody to watch, because it was fantastic.
It's wonderful content, isn't it? It's absolutely wonderful content. But guys, that's it. Thank you very much for joining me as always. And our six picks are, of course, Michael Cooper, Nostra, Ryan Giles, Josh Laurent, Carlton Morris, Ross Stewart, and then we go for a seventh in Dwight Gale as well. But that's it. We've made our picks. It's now your time. It's time to make yours. If you're watching us on YouTube, let us know in the comments below. And don't forget to subscribe to us as well. But if you're listening to us on our podcast provider, And just remember, if you're an Acast listener, the platform is shutting down, and also just so move to a different one. So if you can move to Apple Podcasts or YouTube or whatever other podcast providers, there is plenty out there for you to move on to. But let us know in our mentions who you'd like Borough to sign in the summer. But this has been the Borough Breakdown podcast, and that is our Borough Match Day chatter in a pod. Up the Borough Breakdown.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.